Invite you to turn in your Bibles, whether it's on your phone or iPad or you have a hard copy of God's Word, to two places, John chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 28. I want you to put your finger or bookmark in Matthew 28. We're going to be going to that later. But we're going to start in John chapter 6 this morning. Now, Romans chapter 1 says, well, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 1, says that he is not ashamed of the gospel. For the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is life in our place, death in our place, and his victorious resurrection or death. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Now, that's huge for us. And it's huge for us today because the last part of the good news of Jesus is that he rose from the dead. That he's still alive. That he's reigning in heaven. That he's coming back again. Later on in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul said that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then Christians of all people should be pitied the most, because our faith would be in vain if he did not rise from the dead, and we are still in our sin if he did not rise from the dead. But he did. And our question this morning, maybe it's your question if you're not a Christian. Maybe it's just something like, if you are a Christian like me, you just needed to be reminded of, in this particular season of any season of my life, I've needed to be reminded of this truth, the answer to this question, probably more this week than any other week in my life, of who Jesus is. And so starting in John chapter 6, we are going to go to the Bible, to specifically to Jesus' words this morning, to answer that question so we understand the significance of the fact that he is still alive today. So who is Jesus, and why does it matter if he is still alive? Let's pray and ask the Lord to lead us through his word this morning. Father, we love you. God, we thank you that through your Son Jesus, you have given all those who have placed faith in him his righteousness, and you have placed our sin on him so that we could have a relationship with you and we could come to you in this way through prayer and through song and through your word. God, we thank you for that. God, we thank you that our Savior, your Son Jesus, is alive today. And I pray, I ask for my own heart, for the hearts of those who are worshiping with us this morning, for greater faith to be sure, even more so of that in the days ahead than we have been in the past, that Jesus is alive and reigning and he's coming back again. Lord, may you strengthen and increase our faith in that truth today. God, we ask now specifically that you would walk us through your word, reveal to us the answer to these questions. Who is Jesus, and why does it matter that he is still alive? God, we pray for our hearts as Christians that you would just remind us of the answers to these questions, and we pray for the hearts of those who are unsure about Jesus. God, we pray that you would move them to solid ground in faith and repentance today. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Who is Jesus, and why does it matter if he's still alive? We're going to go first to John chapter 6, verses 30 through 35. And I'm just going to read them. I invite you to follow along in your copy of God's Word. This conversation we are kind of landing in the middle of between Jesus and some others. And it says, so they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Then skip down to verse 51. He says it again. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of this world is my flesh. So Jesus, out of his own mouth, says that he is the bread of life. In the context of this conversation, if you're unfamiliar with scriptures, harkens back to Exodus in the Old Testament. When God's people had been rescued out of Egypt, then they found themselves following the Lord through the wilderness, and they didn't have anything to eat. And so the Lord, day by day, provided enough bread for that day from heaven. They would go out in the mornings and gather it off the ground, take it back to their homes, and eat that day, and do it again each day. So they said to Jesus, look, the Lord did this for us, for our fathers, back in the wilderness. But what about today? The Lord provided bread. He gave them all that they needed day by day, their sustenance, so that they could live and breathe day by day. But what about now, Jesus? And Jesus' answer to that question is that he is the bread of life. Think about this for a moment. That means that Jesus is the sustenance that sustains people in this life. It means that we don't just need Jesus every now and then, but if Jesus is the bread of life, we need Jesus. We need to bring Jesus into our hearts and our minds every day. Just like bread, we need him every day. And just like bread, he sustains us day by day. And just like the bread that fell from heaven in the wilderness to God's people back in the Old Testament, Jesus has come to us from heaven to sustain us day by day in this world. We often forget how much we need Jesus as the bread of life. But we become keenly aware of how much we need him in weeks and days like we're having now. Jesus is the bread of life. That means he is what I need every day. I need him today. I will need him again tomorrow. I will need him again Thursday of this week. And so will you. Jesus is the bread of life. And we keep reading through the Gospel of John, and we get to John chapter 8. I want you to hone in on John chapter 8, verse 12. It says this, that again Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus is the bread of life, but he's also the light of the world. Shouldn't have to do much arguing to convince anyone of this. But this world is dark. This world is broken. This world is dangerous. And apart from, I don't know about you, but apart from somebody leading me and guiding me and showing me where to step and where not to step in this world, I am desperately hopeless. I need light. And the truth is, so do you. And the good news is that Jesus is the light of this world for us. Day by day, he shows us where to step. Day by day, he shows us where not to step. Day by day, he guides us. He is the light of the world. In this dark and broken world, we need light. Jesus is the light. He is the bread of life. He is the light of this world. Keeps going. We continue to read through the Gospel of John, and we get to John chapter 10. Verses 7 through 9. Jesus has begun this imagery in as he's speaking with his disciples, this imagery of the people that follow him are sheep. And Jesus says this. So Jesus again said to them, this is chapter 10, verse 7 of the Gospel of John. So Jesus said again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." There's lots of different images of us being sheep and how we relate to God as his sheep, as his people, in John chapter 10. One of the most comforting of these images is the fact that as his people, as God's people, we belong to him, and as his sheep, we are in his hand. We are protected by him. Jesus says that if we're in the Father's hand as his sheep, no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. This is incredibly comforting words from Jesus about our relationship to God. But here he says something about how we become God's people, how we become one of God's sheep that belong to him and are found in his hand and are held safely by him in his hand. Jesus tells us we enter into his hand by the door. And Jesus says he is the door. At verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." We have a way into the family of God, into the pasture of God, into the sheep fold of God. We have a way into it, and the way is just one door, and that door is Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to let us in to the sheepfold, the pasture, the home, the family of God? Jesus is the bread of life, the light of this world. He is the door into the family of God. In this same chapter, in the following verses, beginning in verse 10, Jesus goes on. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Continues this imagery of us as his people being his sheep, and then he takes responsibility over us. He says, "I'm the good shepherd. When danger comes, I will be there." When the wolf comes, I will be there. He even says that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Pointing, of course, in John chapter 10, later on to John chapter 19, when Jesus actually dies on the cross and lays down his life for his sheep. Church, we should be so grateful today that we have a shepherd to guide us through the mountains of this life and the valleys of this life, the dangers of this life. This season that we're in with COVID-19, with so much outside of our control, really no more than usual, we're just keenly aware of just how much is outside of our control. We have a good shepherd who is completely sovereign, who does not flee danger or sword, who actually lays down his life so that his sheep might live. Jesus is the good shepherd guiding us. And if you belong to him, guiding you right now, today, and tomorrow, guiding you. Keep reading through the Gospel of John. We enter into John chapter 11. We get down to verse 25. In this section of John, one of Jesus' friends named Lazarus has passed away. And Lazarus' friends and sister have sent for Jesus because Lazarus is deathly sick. But Lazarus passes away and has been dead for 4 days by the time Jesus arrives. Jesus goes on later on in this chapter to raise Lazarus from the dead, but before he does that, he looks at Martha, one of the ladies that called for him to come to perhaps save Lazarus before he died. Verse 25, it says that Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into this world." So death is hanging over them. They've experienced it. There is no way around it, no way through it, no way over it. And Jesus says this in light of that. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who believes in me, though they may die, yet they will live." What hope. Keenly aware today that death does not discriminate young and old, healthy and sick, is coming. It's an inescapable reality for us. It's sometimes slow, it's sometimes expected. Sometimes we can see it coming, and then other times it comes out of nowhere and takes someone from us. No matter how hard we work, we cannot escape the reality of death. And in John chapter 11, Jesus' friends are dealing with this reality that one of their own, Lazarus, has died, and there was nothing they could do about it. And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he will live." Such hope in the face of death Jesus offers here. He's our living hope. If you're a Christian today, you have hope beyond the grave because of Jesus. He is the resurrection and life. If you're not a Christian today, we proclaim to you that Jesus is the resurrection and life. He is the only hope beyond death and the grave. It doesn't stop there, though. We keep reading the Gospel of John. We come to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Familiar passage that's read a lot of funerals. Jesus is pointing to what he's going to go do for those who belong to him. He says, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now we often talk about verse 6. But verse 6 comes in the context of a conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples, where Jesus is saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and this place is going to be good. You can trust me. When I go prepare it, I will come back, and I will get you, and I will take you there. He's pointing to our eternal life in heaven with God, where every tear will be wiped away, death and sin will reign no more. And Jesus says, I'm going to prepare this place for you. And Thomas says, we don't even know where you're going, Jesus. How do we know the way to get there? And Jesus says, I am the way, Thomas. I am the truth, Thomas. I am the life. Stop worrying about trying to figure out facts outside of me. Just follow me, Thomas. Perhaps you're a little bit like Thomas, and you're going, man, like, it's heaven that Christians talk about with God who is good and just and righteous. Sounds really good, but even if I knew the way, I don't think I could get there. We have good news for you today. Jesus did all the work. All you need to do is to trust him. We keep reading. We get to John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And in this passage, Jesus is talking about his relationship with those who trust him. And he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And skip down to verse 5. Jesus says again, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus says, I am the true vine. You want to do good work in this world? You abide in Jesus. You want to live a righteous life, bearing righteous and holy and pure fruit, then get to know Jesus and abide in him. Live and walk in him. Now, Isaiah in the Old Testament tells us that our righteousness, our best work, is like filthy rags. In Philippians in the New Testament, it echoes this statement. It says that our righteousness is like excrement. It's no good. It's filthy. It's dirty. And Jesus comes along and he says, I'm the true vine. If you want to bear good fruit, good, righteous, holy, and pure fruit, you're not going to be able to apart from me. So abide in me. Live in me. Trust me. I am the true vine. If you abide in me, you will bear much good fruit. So who is Jesus? He's the bread of life. He's the light of this world. He's the door. He is the good shepherd. He's the resurrection and life. He's the way. He's the truth. He is the life. He is the true vine. This is what he taught about himself. And those who believed in him, like the conversation we see between in John chapter 11 between Jesus and Martha, where he says that he is the resurrection and the truth. Whoever believes in him, though he die, yet that person will live. We see people like Martha in verse 27 where she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the one who came to save us, sent by the Father. I believe that you are him." We see many people following Jesus, believing all these things that he says that he is. And then one of Jesus' friends betrays him. And Jesus is arrested. Then Jesus is put on trial. And they watch. And then Jesus is condemned to death by crucifixion. Some of them run. Some of them stay and watch Jesus be tortured and mocked, beaten nearly to the end of his life. Then they watch as Jesus struggles to take his own cross that he would eventually die on to the top of a hill. Eventually unable to do it himself, so someone else does. And they get to the top of the hill. They nail Jesus to the cross. They drop it into the ground. And there on that cross, Jesus died. And the bread of life was dead. The one who was supposed to be their sustenance, sustain them, the light of the world, would eventually, within hours, lay in a dark tomb. The one who was supposed to be their way into heaven, their door, was dead. The one who claimed to be their good shepherd that would walk them through the mountains and valleys of this life was dead. The one who claimed to be the resurrection and life lay lifeless in a tomb. The one who claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life laid still and silent and dead in a tomb. The one who claimed to be the true vine had been cut off. Jesus had died. You think about this, if you slow down for a second, you think about this, the weight of this on those who had said, "Yes, I believe." The reality of this would have sunken in slowly, minute by minute, and hour by hour, over the next 3 days. That the one whom they had trusted in this life, that they had trusted through death and into the next life, was dead. The closest thing we have coming to that we could possibly hang on to, I think, is that if today we got news that there was a doctor who had a vaccine, and he was the only one who had it to COVID-19. Before he gave it to the rest of the world, he was going to try it himself, and he injected himself with a vaccine. And it made him sick with COVID-19. And then he died. And the only one who had the cure for what we're facing was killed by the very thing that we are facing. And our hope is gone. It's lost. This was Jesus. He claimed to be the resurrection and the life. The one that got us through this life and into the next. Be our good shepherd, sustaining and providing, protecting us. And he was gone. And that's the darkness. That is the heaviness that we enter into in Matthew chapter 28. So I want you to go there with me now. It's been 3 days. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The one who was the bread of life, who would sustain them day in and day out, today and tomorrow, and the next day and the next day and the next day, daily. He was alive. The one who is the light of the world was alive. He had come out of the dark tomb. The one who was the door was alive. The one who was a good shepherd, the good shepherd, that would lead them through this life, promising them provision and protection. He was alive. He had conquered the one thing that they could not. The one thing that loomed over them day in and day out, death. Jesus had conquered. He was alive. He was the way, the truth, and the life. And he was alive. He was the true vine, and he was alive. He was the resurrection and the life, and he had resurrected. And his words echoed true once he was alive. That everyone who believes in him, though they may die, they will live. This is why we gather today. Because he's alive. The one in whom we put all of our hope, all of our trust. The one that we let go of everything else, our own works, our own effort, our own do-gooding, trying to get into heaven. The one we let go of all of those things to grab hold of to Jesus, who's done it all in our place for us. He's alive. The one who sustains us day in and day out. The one who opens up the door into heaven so that we can become part of the Father's family. He's alive. This is why we sing. And in a moment, I hope that you will sing loud and sing with us. But I want us to slow down just one more time. Because maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're hearing these things for the first time, or you're just listening for some reason again for another time this morning. And I just want you to hear the claims of Jesus. He claims to be these things alone, by himself, no one else, nothing else. And he doesn't call you to agree with him. He calls you to trust him. And in trusting him, you will find agreement with him. So that's our prayer for you today. If you're not a believer, our prayer is that you would turn from living life your way and turn to Jesus. Maybe you're listening today and your Christianity has consisted of a set of traditions, a set of facts that you believe. Maybe your Christianity has consisted of a particular political affiliation or a certain set of do's and don'ts for your life. Certain set of morals, perhaps. But during this season of COVID-19, you found your Christianity to be empty and hopeless. And I just want to call you not to renew your effort towards those morals or anything else, but to come to Jesus, our living hope. He's the only one that will sustain us through this or anything else we might face. So I pray that your Christianity would be characterized by a relationship with him and not by some certain set of morals, but by a person, Jesus. If you're wrestling with these things, message us. Open your Bible and read. You don't necessarily need us, but if you want us to walk with you through the Word, we'd be more than happy to. Message us. Our phone numbers will be on the screen later in the service. You can text us if you like. Call us if you'd like. If you're a Christian, I just want to turn your eyes the way that mine have been turned this week. We tend to fall into habit and to cling to head knowledge. And I just want to encourage you, yes, cling to truth, but more than you cling to truth, cling to Jesus, our living hope. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We pray that you would lead us to yourself. God, if our religion is nothing more than morals, perhaps right morals, good morals, but morals, if it's nothing more than that, God, I pray that you would show us and you would lead us to yourself, to trust you. God, I pray for those who might be listening. Lord, if they're wrestling with whether to believe you, to trust you or not, God, we pray that you would give them faith right now. God, for those of us who are in you, who have entered in through the door that you are, God, we pray that you would grow us up in our faith. Lead us to have joy, the same joy that we see in Matthew 28 that they had when they saw that you were alive. God, give us that joy as we sing this morning. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.